Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for joining us for another episode. I think it's episode 7 of Rucking Around with myself, Zach, and my good friend, Joe. Fortunately, Ben can't be here again. Bloody flake, that Ben. If he had ordered a nice 9, he'd get 7 flakes with him. That's how flaky he is. But anyway, Joe, how you doing? You all good? You're looking well? T-shirts yeah. off? I mean, I don't need to see that, mate, but, you know, fair play to you.
Sun's out, guns out, mate. You know how it is. It's like 500 million degrees or something. It's in London at the moment.
It is very warm. But,
wouldn't want to be playing rugby in this, tell you that.
Oh, yes, it was, especially on Saturday, mate. The listeners know, last week, I told everyone I was going to the Stoop for the last game of the season. Great day. Had far too many beers. But I was looking out at the pitch and it was just like the perfect conditions for the way like Quinns want to play, like that fast tempo running rugby. It was just perfect. But I'd looked out and I thought, I really just would not want to be playing that. I'm glad I'm sitting in the stand with a nice cold beer and just, you know, enjoying it. But it was, yeah, honestly, but I think about 4,000 fans. It was really, really nice to be back. It just felt a little bit normal again. Mm. You know, and there was the amount of noise as well. Was really like quite astonishing, really, considering it's not even sort of half capacity. So it was a good game. It was a bit of a romping in the end, wasn't it? 54-26. I think, you know, it's Newcastle, they're just, you know, it's the end, last game of the season for them. They've not had a great season. Quinns are flying at the moment, so I think it was always going to be written in the stars that Quinns were going to get the win. But did you watch the game? Were you able to
watch it? It wasn't on telly, so I could only watch the highlights. Because obviously all the games kicked off at 3 o'clock, so
yeah,
I watched Exeter Sale instead. They didn't even play. I thought they'd be playing the Quinns Newcastle game on, but they were showing Wasps Leicester instead.
They had it on like BT Extra.
Extra, yeah, Red Barn.
Yeah. So
yeah, in fairness, Exeter Sale was, boy, I mean, I don't know, maybe not a better game, but
yeah, talk me through it, because I was obviously wasn't watching it. I was watching Quinns, you know, get the result against Newcastle. So yeah, what happened? I watched a bit of the highlights, but obviously they don't tell a whole game. So yeah, talk us through it, mate.
Mate, Sale just battered them for 50 minutes, and then I think it was who would have got red carded? Sam Skinner got red carded for them. Yeah. And then Exeter just galvanized and came back and won. Like, it was nuts, yeah. I mean, to be fair, so Dave Ewers got yellow carded in the first half for Exeter. Yeah. Sale just battered them. Like, seriously, next season, Sale are going to be such a problem for everyone. Mm. Their line speed and defense is just ridiculous. And their pack is just so physical. They're going to be such a hard game for anyone. But yeah, when Skinner got, they just battered them for 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for them, Utset van der Merwe, the hooker, the angry warthog, got injured. It looked pretty bad. Neild as well, their six, got injured. It looked pretty bad. And AJ McGinty as well, in the last minute of the game, got seriously injured. So he's not going to be fit next week.
Oh, he set up a try and scored a good try as well. I saw
the mate, he's been so good for them all season. It's so peak he got injured.
He was running the show by the looks of it. But
I don't even know who their replacement 10 is. I think they have Sam James, who's their 13 that can also play 10. And I think Hammersley as well, the 15. But yeah, like, it's a massive loss for them.
They got that. They have got the other Dupree brother as well, haven't they? That plays sort of fly.
Oh, is he a 10? I didn't realize he was a 10.
He's been, when I've seen him play, he's been playing 10 for Sale. Yeah. They. I agree with you. I think they're going to be. They're starting to look like a problem now. But I think when they, you know, if they get any more players as well, in the, you know, between now and the start of the next season, I think they could be a real problem. Did Manu Tuilagi make much of an impact? Or
he didn't do too much, to be honest. He came off at 60, but like, he made a few good carries and stuff. But I don't know. It wasn't. it wasn't, Sale weren't playing that game. They were just playing such a tight physical game. To be honest, like, it doesn't matter because next week is all that matters now, or this week even, because obviously they're playing again. They're playing each other again at Sandy Park again in 6 days' time. And, mate, that is going to be just, it's going to be so interesting to see how contrasting both semi-finals are. You got Bristol v Quins first in the Sun at Ashton Gate, probably being like 50-40. And then you're going to have Exeter v Sale, which is literally just going to be a dogfight, like the most physical dogfight ever. Because like Sale feel absolutely robbed because they should have won. And Exeter got away with murder and should never have won that. So they're both going to come back with way more motivation to just want to absolutely smash the other team. I saw Alex Anderson in his post-match interview. I've never seen him so angry. He was pissed off. He was so pissed off. He said, I think he ended it by saying, he was like, I don't want to say they're lucky because they worked for it and they win a lot of games like that, but we're coming in next week and we're going to right those wrongs, and walked off. And it was like, fucking hell, right? Let's go. Well, so
I would not want to get on the wrong side of him, to be fair. He's massive.
Honestly. But
well, I've just seen, actually, Dave Ewers could be getting cited. Well, he has been cited, so because he got a yellow card for a tackle on Hammersley. And they reviewed it now, so it could be a red card. And he and Sam Skinner, I think Sam Skinner would definitely be banned, but they could also be losing him. And
he Dave Ewers, in my opinion, I don't know how you can yellow card Dave Ewers and red card Sam Skinner. So Sam Skinner got red carded for, it was like a high tackle on Fafter Clerk.
Yeah.
But like that's a high tackle from a 6'7" lock on a 5'9" scrum half.
Yeah.
And Dave Ewers... Yeah, so Hammersley was taken into contact and he was all being tackled by like Cameron Dickin, someone else. And Ewers came in and there was shoulder to the head contact. But like Carl Dixon tried saying that there was mitigating there were no mitigating factors with Skinner and there was with Ewers. I just really don't. I think they're both yellow or they're both red. I have no problem if they're both red, but they were literally virtually the same. They're virtually identical in the challenges. So,
but if you get cited, like if you've been yellow carded, and then you've been cited for the same challenge as well, you've been cited after the game. That's not going to end well.
Yeah, like, it's just for not. Sure.
They've obviously just seen it and thought, okay, Carl Dinks has probably made a mistake. It's actually probably a red card, and he's going to be banned. Him and Sam Skinner will miss both games.
I don't know if Sam Skinner will, because he's been red carded. So, actually, no, you're right. He might get banned. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, he will. No, I mean, if you get a red card, you always get a ban. Whether it's like even a 2 week ban would see him out of everything.
Ewers would be such a loss for them because I think last week when they played Northampton, they really missed Ewers and Jax Vermeulen because they're just so good at the breakdown. Well, and then this week, they were considerably better because of Ewers. But then next week, I think Jax Vermeulen is still injured. I don't know if he's fit because he was in the stands. And I don't see why he wouldn't be playing otherwise. So if they miss Ewers and they don't have Vermeulen either, I think Sale... I mean, I don't know. It's going to be such a tight game, but it's going to be a big loss for them if they miss both of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've got... potentially three massive players. You know, Sam Skinner is good at line out as well. You know, he calls a lot of the line outs for Exeter, and you know, he's a nuisance around the breakdown as well. And he's just a good player. I always liked Sam Skinner. I've sort of struggled to see why he doesn't get a bit more game time for Scotland, to be honest.
But,
they will be massive. But I think Davey is just an absolute beast. And Julian bloke as well, Jax. They're just they are so good at the breakdown, like you said. And if they're going to miss like potentially three of those players, they've got. I mean, look, Exeter have got strength and depth. You know, that they haven't won it.
Exeter said they'll have Johnny Gray back next week as well, which will be big for them. But it's just all on next week. Next week, Exeter v Sale. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm literally sitting my ass down the sofa for six hours to watch both games back to back. It's going to be pretty mint.
Quinn's on first, is it?
Yeah, Quinn's first. Quinn's first. Which I prefer that.
1 o'clock. Yeah, 1 o'clock. It's a nice game. Yeah, 1 o'clock. Get it out of the way.
Yeah, running rugby. Yeah. And then you get the dog. I'm telling you, man, Exeter Visayas will be such a physical game. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up just being like 12-6.
Do you reckon it could be one of those games though, like is an arm wrestle for the start of it and then one team just breaks down and the other team runs away with it?
Maybe. I mean, it's hard to see otherwise because that's literally what has happened to Exeter with every single game. They've been battered and then they've just come back in the last 30 and won. But honestly, man, I don't know. I could see Sale battering them. I could see Exeter battering them. I could see it being close for the entire game and then being a penalty to win it. I could see any scenario. I think they're so evenly matched. I think Exeter probably have a bit more flair in their attack, a bit more attacking prowess, especially with AJ McGinty out. But I do think Sale have a bigger, more physical pack. I think Sale can dominate them up front.
I think that whoever wins the scrum in that game, or whoever you see has a little bit of an edge in the scrum, I think will dictate the game because I think both teams like to play off a solid scrum. And, you know, look, with Quinns as well, I think it will be important. Scrum's always important, I think, for pretty much every game. But for Quinns and Bristol, I think it will be the threat, you know, in open play.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I think, Bristol got a decent maul, and I think Quinns need to, definitely with last time playing at Ashton Gate, we need to tighten that up because that's how we lost the game, ultimately. The last second maul, and Carl Sinclair dots over the white line. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think, I think you're right in terms of out of the two matches, I think the Sale and Exeter Sale will be an arm wrestle. Yeah. And Quinns and Bristol, I think, will be maybe a little bit nervy at start, but then I think it will just open up.
For Sale as well, you've got to think, like, Tuilagi, he's now had two games under his belt. Mate.
Could this be the one
where he just goes ham, This is the game where he turns up. Literally, honestly, I would not be surprised at all. Because I think he played last week when he was all right, played this week. And, like, look, it's not surprising. He's been out for, like, a year. So, but, yeah, like, next week, mate, that could be the game where he fully comes out and is like, right, I'm back. I just wanted to talk about the Quinns game quickly because I only saw a couple of the highlights, but obviously you were there. Mate, Jack Kenningham looks so good.
He is he's a great sort of academy player that's just come through. And he just seems to... Just watching like celebrate with the other players as well, it seems like the other players really like and respect him as well.
Yeah.
And that's for like a young person to be in that group, sort of to have that, to command that respect. And that actually like players like him and also the fans love him as well. He's really become like a cult hero in the space of like 4 months or something. Like everyone just loves him.
He's like my age.
He's ridiculous, but like that poaching ability, like you know, at 5 meters out and scores, and he's done that a couple of times. I think it was against against Bath, wasn't it?
Bath,
he ran that really nice line. It was like sort of a Mike Brown line, really close to the line and dotted over. But his ability over the ball as well. He always makes a nuisance of the breakdown, and he does get penalties given against him, but all back rows and you know even like sort of second rows nowadays they get pinged at the breakdown. But he more often than not he makes the right decision, and to have him someone like him with Will Evans, so I think you know actually to be honest, perfect back row for Quinns is probably Kenningham, Will Evans, and Don Brant. That's a pretty good.
See, I think I was going to ask you, do you think that's it? Because I just don't know if Kenningham or Will Evans are that good of like a workhorse as Lorday or...
See, I really like Lorday. I think he's, since he's come from Exeter, I think he's slowly worked his way up into the team. And he's been given quite a bit of game time this season. And he's very good in the tackle. He's good at carrying. And also, I kind of like his, he seems to be able to find a pass, you know, like the final pass. He, you know, he's very comfortable tipping it on and stuff, and he's a good playmaker as well in that sense. You know, he's not one of those forwards that sort of gets scared and sees the line and sort of like gets white line fever. He's got good core skills to pass the ball around. So, I mean, there's another player though, like James Chisholm. I mean, he's sort of fallen off. I really like him as well. I just think he's
an eight. I think he's our replacement, eight. That's the only thing, yeah. And Dom Brandt,
no one's really going to get him out of the team,
greatest eight in the world. So,
yeah, well, Warren Gatland and Eddie Jones don't think that. So, but I think, yeah, I mentioned Chisholm actually, because I really like him. I think he's an abrasive ball carrier and he does make meters. And anyone that's seen him play, you know, he loves the club as well. But yeah, I was glad to see that he wasn't one of those people that leaving, because there's quite a big exodus of Quinn's players. Other than Daho, Glenn Young, James Lang are going to Edinburgh. Nathan L. I'm sad about Nathan L. because
you
know, he's come back from injury and we saw what he could do with that great try. But
so on Nathan L., this is the only thing, right? Apparently he's going to Newcastle.
Mm.
But imagine three Newcastle have a Brad One, Mike Brown and Nathan L. That would be pretty awesome.
Gustard springs to mind for that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we are getting rid. Landerho is one as well. I thought that's a bit weird because we only signed him a few weeks ago, months ago even. But I know
he's
been
here for ages. Landerho, the number nine, he's been here for like a couple of years, mate.
I thought he'd only been here for a couple of years.
No, he's been here for a couple of years. Like he's getting old though. Like he's getting on a bit.
I don't know. We signed the young, I think his name's like Tierlin or something. And I'm getting that completely wrong, but he's a young New Zealand scrum half.
I know he's talking about.
Yeah, and apparently...
He hasn't played at all.
Yeah, he hasn't played a game yet. But I know he's like 21, 22. And I know Nick Evans really likes him. So I assume they're looking at him and Scott Steele to one of them to replace Kerr, which I like. I really like Scott Steele. And I hope that Kiwi blokes... pretty good as well, but
The thing will be if Scott Steele cements his, you know, when Danny Kerr eventually leaves, which I saw maybe one more season, I think Scott Steele. But the thing, I like him as well, and I think he's a great player. But if he starts getting more time for Scotland, you know, we do need another good scrum half that can play during the Six Nations, because that's
for sure. It
wasn't so bad this year, and I think this is one of the first years that the Six Nations actually hasn't affected. We've actually done better, maybe.
Yeah.
But you always used to be the same old thing when the Six Nations are on. You know, you lose players like back in the day. It was like Marler, Mike Brown, Danny Kerr, Chris Robshaw, and a few others. Marlon Yard as well, sometimes as well. But you know, like sort of four or five big players for England, and then you had maybe a few Welsh boys or a few Scottish boys as well that would leave, and it was always like we'd just do rubbish when those players were gone. So I think we've built a good squad.
We need more depth though. I think that getting rid of Brett Herron as well and James Lang, and we're signing Tomaso Allen.
He's going to go to Six
Nations. Exactly, yeah. And then we've got Will Edwards, that young kid from the academy, but I just think all teams are doing it though now. It's the thing, because the salary cap's coming down. You know, they have to. Everyone's getting rid of the players and way more focus on academy players, which, to be honest, I prefer. I'd rather I'm torn. There's two schools of thought, right? I'd love to see the Premiership be this amazing league where, you know, we signed Semi Randrandu gets signed, and for example, like Ardie Surveyor comes over, or Wilco Lowe, or Andre Esterhazen, you know, all these amazing Southern Hemisphere players. But at the same time, for English rugby and for the clubs, it makes way more sense to just invest more in your academy and then reap the rewards when, you know, Jack Kenningham, Joe Marchant, Marcus Smith, you know, Elia, bloody, the list is endless, really, you know, Dom Brandt. Will Evans the same, you know, you sign kids from university, you put them in the academy and you watch them grow. I think It's less expensive for one. And they're, you know, quote unquote homegrown players. So I don't know. I'm torn because there's two schools of thought. On the one hand, I would love to see us sign, you know, Beauden Barrett. Fuck it. Get him come over. But, you know, it's not a viable or sustainable solution now the salary cap's come down.
No, it is a bit of a tricky one. I think that you do need to find the balance because with people like Jack Kenningham as well, like his story is he lives in St. Margaret's. His family's from St. Margaret's, which is obviously not that far from us or you know, the stoop or whatever. And, you know, he was a season ticket holder with his dad. Like, he used to go to the games and now he's playing in front of the stoop and scored two tries there. And that's a brilliant story and people love that. So I think it'll be good to like you said, invest in more homegrown players because then that's also good for England. And, you know, with England, obviously you need a good crop of players that are playing in the Premiership because otherwise they won't be playing for England. So you don't want it to have a bad league where players just want to go and chase the money and go to France or, you know, other places to chase the cash. You want the best English players playing in England so they get to play for England ultimately and you know, do stuff with them. But then, I think you need a few sprinklings of like class players, like your Esther Hazens and people like that. I mean, I think he's justified his purchase more than on one occasion. Yes, he's got a couple of bands in there and that's not good. And he does need to tighten that. He does need to tighten that up. But I mean, when he's playing and he's fit and doesn't get himself into trouble, he probably is one of our best players. And I'm just hoping that we can beat Bristol on the weekend and he can come back for the final and score the winning try. If that actually happens, I'm a genius. But I think, oh my God, crash ball off the line, last 2 minutes or something, bam, goes over. Oh, I can see it now. But anyway, that's all conjecture. But no, it'll be good. It'll be good to see. I think there's a few tasty games. They're good matchups against, I think, Bristol and I think both teams, actually. I think both games, the teams that are playing each other have got similar styles in the sense that, you know, Quins and Bristol, very expansive, open play rugby, and Exeter, Sale, you know, dogfights, keep it in the tight five, those sort of teams. So it will be, I think there'll be both really good games, but for really different reasons.
Absolutely. Stylistically, there, you couldn't have asked for better semi-finals.
No.
Like, literally, if Sale were playing, if it was Sale, Bristol and Exeter, Quins, it would be like, oh, great. It's going to be fun. Watch Bristol and Harlequins both just get dominated up front. I think the other interesting things as well, obviously, Bristol haven't played. Didn't play this week.
They had a bye because COVID in the London Irish.
That could be the best thing for them because they've come off the back of a load of games that they weren't amazing in, but they still won. And then obviously all the stuff at the end of the Leicester game, you know, they had injuries. Well, not injuries, but, you know, John Afoa, Sinclair, give all the players a rest, give them like a week off, completely come back rejuvenated with the literally goal set of win two games and win the Premiership. And I'm just going to say it now. I think Bristol will end up battering Harlequins in the end.
It could go the other way because, you know, they could have wanted and like Harlequins with playing, you know, in their last game of the season, playing a team that's underperformed, and London Irish have sort of they've been really up and down this season. So Bristol actually might have wanted a run out because they had a close game as marked with a lot of controversy with the game against Leicester. So they actually could have wanted like a run out, scored like 60 points, and now they've actually had to, you know, just have a week off and not play. But you know, with Quins, I was scared that they were going to play a weakened team, but then actually I realised they probably wouldn't because they want to build that winning thing in, you know, that winning mentality with a team that is going to play in the semi final. And I think it could go your way or it could. You know, they could go my way, and what I'm saying is that they could be a little bit not underprepared, but they could be coming into the biggest game of their season, and they've been playing really, really well. But like you said, they have looked poor over the last couple of weeks, and they have looked like they can be a team that that, you know, can be beat. So
no, it's entirely possible, yeah, for sure.
But we'll have to wait and see. But it's gonna be a cracker. I hope Quins are just within a shout, you know.
I think they will be. 100% it will be a close game for most of it. I just think Bristol will just better. I still think Quins are on their journey. I don't think they're the finished article. I think Bristol absolutely know what's going on. Everyone understands the game plan. Whereas at Quins, it's Marcus Smith and Danny Kerr and everyone else, really. But yeah, it'll be a great game either way. I think the fact it's at Ashton Gate as well makes such a difference, with fans as well. Like, Bristol fans will be so up for it. But yeah, we'll see. And then Exeter Sale. I honestly don't think you can call it. I can see it going either way. Oh, I have no idea.
That's going to be a tough one.
My dad was saying Exeter after we watched the game. He said he thinks Exeter will actually be better than them. And I was like, nah, no way. No way will they batter them. There's no way they'll batter them. But I would be... For Exeter, this is it. Like, this is everything for them, right? They got dumped out of Europe.
Yeah.
Literally, like, the Premiership, two games to win it with the season they had. After being double champs last year, not being able to celebrate. Now you've got a chance to win a home semi-final at Sandy Park and then go and win the Premiership. It's hard to look past them, especially with Sale losing AJ McGinty and Van der Merwe.
Yeah. And just the way that they lost as well. Because, yeah, you know, you're at Sandy Park, which is a very tough place to go. They get a man sent off, and I think with what we've seen this season, with a lot more red cards, but I also think it's made teams train a lot of the times, probably with 14 and 13 men. So I think it's not necessarily the end of the world if you get a red card. It is, you know, if you're playing a really like expansive side like Quins or Bristol and you're a man down, you're going to know about it because they'll just run you out of the park. Mm. But I think the manner which they were, you know, they looked in control of that game for large parts of it. And they were really, you know, battering them down. So we're really battering Exeter down. And then they lose by 1 point. And they had a man up for most of the second half. I think, will that actually... Yes, Exeter might lose a few players, but will that actually be like Exeter to Exeter? Like, yeah, we weren't actually at our best today. And we still won. So they could be like, well, if we just turn up next week, we can actually batter them. But yeah, sure. I think I want it to be a closer game. I want it to be a close game because it's with those like those packs. It will. I'm a bit of a forward head, so I'm really hoping that there's going to be some good balls.
100%. It will be a game for the purists. It won't be. It'll just be jokes. The contrast between the first semi final and the second. Still be totally different games, but yeah. This other bit of news I wanted to talk about. Ronan Kelleher been called up to train with the Lions this week.
Oh, really? The Irish?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, which makes sense because obviously Cowan Dickey and George probably won't be available for the Japan game because George is going to be playing this week against Ealing again.
Oh, yeah. Cowan Dickey. Quickly mention that.
Saracens
battered
them 60-0. Shock. Saracens beat a championship team.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, Saracens are gonna get, you know, they're not gonna get it, make it back up. I was like, relax. They lost one game against Cornish Pirates.
Yeah.
Chill out. Like they are still gonna come back when all their England players come back. I knew this was happening, but anyway, let's not talk too much about it. Well done to them, they're gonna win it. They'll come up.
Yeah.
Probably break the salary cap again. But anyway, congratulations to them. But yeah, going for the Lions, he's gonna be playing.
No, so he's not in the squad. He's just been training with them, but it makes sense because if Cowan Dickey gets injured. Well, Cowan Dickey's got the semi-final and George has got this weekend.
Yeah.
So if Cowan Dickey... I think the thinking behind it is just that if Exeter lose and Saracens win, then one of them will be on the bench for the Japan game and Ken Owens is going to start, obviously. He's the only hooker in camp. So I think they're calling it up just in case Cowan Dickey gets injured in the semi-final or final. so that then okay. if he gets injured, they can just say, Ronan Kelleher, congratulations, you're now a Lion.
Could he play though? Could he play? Say because they're not going to be
not as of right now.
Yeah, but even if they don't get injured though, he's not going to be. George is playing the final, isn't he? So that he would be available for the 26th.
Yeah, because after Saturday, all the Southlands boys, but yeah, they only have a week for the Japan game. Obviously, you can still prepare in a week, but no way would I be starting. But this is the thing. Next week, we'll discuss our 15 for the Japan game because there's only 25 players available. The other 12 are in semi-finals or Saris. But then, obviously, all the Saris players will be available, but they probably just won't play because they'll have to catch up and get up to speed with everything. And the team that they can put out anyway, like, they don't need... Yeah. I was working through it today. Like, it's basically just the Welsh, Irish, and a couple of Scots in there. But you can put together a bloody good team.
They can probably still beat Japan.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I really wanted to discuss it today, but I was like, nah, we'll save it for next week because it's near the time.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens because there could be a few like English players that make it on the bench if they don't affect.
Yeah, well, you know, Watson, Courtney Laws.
They're done now. But I would imagine that they would be going. Yeah, players like Courtney Laws.
Yeah, they're in camp. Yeah,
he would be going. They would be going straight in, so they actually could. They could have a shot with, and they might actually want to play someone like Courtney Laws because he's played really, really well over the last couple of games, but he's still come back from injury.
Yeah.
So they might just want to give him a run out.
For sure.
That'd be sick if Courtney Laws started.
I think he will, to be fair.
I think he just makes such a positive impact to any team that he's in.
I don't think he'll start. I think they'll go, let's just do it now and then we'll do it again next week. I think they'll go, it'll be Wyn Jones, Ken Owen, Stad Furlong, Adam Wynn, Courtney Laws, and then back row. You literally can do whatever you want because everyone's Falatau. Available. Probably Falatau, be like
Watson.
Hamish Watson, Falatau, Tipperick, and then probably Connor Murray, Bigger, Aki, Henshaw, or Henshaw Harris, Liam Williams at 15, and then Watson and Zammit on the wing, or Watson and Adams, or Van der Merwe and Adams, or whatever. Yeah, so it's a bloody good team you can put out still. And then
they could definitely be able to see off Japan.
They should. It just depends because obviously their first game training together was today. And this is the thing with Lions tour, isn't it? It's like how quickly can you get up to speed with everything, start formulating the game plan,
and also relationships and stuff. You know, like
exactly, yeah.
Because it's a special thing. The Lions. I've heard hearing a few players, like ex players, like even Carl Sinclair, who was talking on another podcast. He was saying that, it's like trying to explain. It's like me trying to explain like a food that you've never tried before, like a really nice food that I like but you've never had it before. Like it's just really, really impossible to explain. That's what he was kind of saying the Lions is. And he's, you know, the friends that you make, not just from obviously there's going to be players that you don't know in your own nation, but it is that unique sporting occasion where, you know, four countries join up. And, you know, it must be weird because there's loads of different cultures in that, you know, and it's just, I think it's pretty cool. But, I've just seen like a few other players are saying like the making of like the friends and like, you know, creating that environment is really, really important because you're not there forever. You're not there for a long time. And also absolutely. You're going to be playing some really, really good teams. So you need to be all on the same page. So it'll be interesting to see if they can do that. But I'm sure. They have a few social secs like Jamie George to liven it up a bit.
I think that's the thing with the Lions. Is like you never fully understand how special it is, but I know how special it is, like because I love it so much. Like the Euros are on right now, and I care about the Euros, but in comparison to how much I care about the Lions, I don't give a shit about the Euros. Like I literally don't care about the Euros. In comparison to how much I care about the Lions. Like, the next 8 weeks are set. I know it's 7 p.m. every Saturday, what I'm going to be doing. And then probably going to watch the games again on the Sunday to try and understand more. And then any, like, videos, bonus footage, interviews, everything. I will eat it up like nothing.
You're gonna,
like,
on their Instagram. Oh, mate. Like, oh, new story. All of it. New content.
It's so, yeah. Like, I know you can never, I guess, as players, like, you'll never understand, but as fans, like, Zach, me and you, like, it's the only ever time we're ever going to be cheering for, well, I guess Quinns, but like the Lions, like, yeah, we'll be brothers in arms cheering for the same team.
Yeah, you know, like, international I'll be cheering on Welsh blokes, you'll be cheering
exactly,
on
yeah, blokes. Like, singing just Flower of Scotland's a Welshman, yeah, and an Englishman singing Scottish national anthem. Like,
I do,
unbelievable,
I do
like it's it. The best thing ever.
That is a good song, actually, to be fair to them.
Second best anthem in the world.
I like, you know, Swing Low is pretty good. When Twickenham's, yeah, but when Twickenham's like packed,
it's not an anthem.
Imagine that. But imagine
it's
if
like
you're playing.
Four words.
Yeah, but imagine if you're playing and you hear that, and it's like 82,000 people. It must be quite good. Must be quite good. I've been there, mate. Yeah, but the Welsh one's all right. The Welsh one's all right. It's just a little bit. It goes
Bread of Heaven, mate. Thought I was a big boy like yourself. You'd like a song that had a bit of food in it.
Touché.
On that note, we'll call it a day, I reckon.
Yeah,
good pod.
I've got to make, like a banana and split. But no, I think we've covered everything, really. It's obviously, we've got a big, big week. I mean,
it's the end of the season, isn't it? Season,
yeah, I mean, notable mentions. I mean, Bath, Northampton, 30-24. I saw the last bits of the game. Bath, literally, Northampton 1 point down.
Yeah.
And they were running it into their, like, 22. Got ripped. The ball got ripped, and Josh Bayliss, their flanker,
yeah,
just literally ran like three quarters of the pitch and scored a really, really good try to just win it. But it's such a Northampton way to lose. Like,
yeah, honestly, isn't it?
Like, they get the ball ripped. Ridiculous. Like, it's 80 minutes, 15 seconds. They're like trying to mount an attack, and they get the ball ripped out of them, and then the other, and then Bath just go and score a try just to rub a salt in the wound. But
in fairness, as well, we didn't mention Leicester v Wasps.
Yeah,
and Leicester, that was actually a great game.
That was a good. Yeah, it was a bit of a tri-fest as well. Villalanu, I was talking about him a few weeks ago.
Going to Worcester.
Scored a brace. Yeah, Worcester are actually going to get some players. Obviously, Worcester, Gloucester was called off as well because of COVID. But yeah, no, that Wasps 31-38. So Leicester, actually, I think that's the first time they've ever won at the Ricoh, Leicester.
Really?
Yes. Their new, wow. I think, yeah, the new stadium. Or, yeah, I think it is. I saw it
snap
the other day. So
they were so shit for so long. I'm glad that they're back.
I think it's good because they are like a historic club. So I think it's good that they are
better for
coming
everyone
back to form. But yeah,
next season, they're going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I really like Leicester's hooker, the Montoya, the Argentinian guy.
Yeah.
So he's sort of. You know, Agustin Creevy, who plays at London Irish now. So obviously he was like the mainstay at hooker for Argentina, and Montoya always came off the bench to replace him. And I was really impressed with him. Like when like the Rugby Championship, and you're seeing him come off the bench against like New Zealand and Australia, he always impressed me. But now he is the starter for Argentina. So there's a few players in Leicester that I do like.
Yeah, for sure. Next season, you're just going to have Bristol, Exeter, Sale and Leicester, I think, who are just going to be above everyone else. And then you're going to have Quinns, Saints, and, you know, maybe a couple of others that are good. And obviously, Sarri's coming back up as well. But in terms of, like, physical, like, Exeter, Sale, Leicester and Sarri's will dominate teams physically. And then Bristol, just excellent. And then Quinns, Northampton, you know, they'll be thereabouts. But, yeah, I think
we need to go to a Harlequin Sarri's game, mate. I've been to a few.
Oh, 100%, yeah. I've been to about four, I think. I think if you have a ticket here.
Really?
Hold on. Nor do I.
I've seen them. Maybe I've seen Quinns beat Sarri's twice at the Stoop, and it was, I've never heard it so loud. It was so good. It was in recent years, but it was honestly the loudest I've ever heard the Stoop. Absolutely mental.
You know when the kick came off the post and Marchant scored.
Yeah.
Did we win that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've seen them win twice, yeah. I saw that game, and I saw in 20...
Tim Visser.
15, you know, when 16.
They chipped it to the corner, and Tim Visser was there, and he caught it and dotted it down.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one. But there was also, because Maritoji hadn't lost a game, because with England and Sarri, he hadn't actually lost a game. It was like some ridiculous amount of time. But yeah, I remember that game. He didn't actually play that well, but I think it was a testament to Quinn's on the day. But anyway, yeah, yeah, we'll leave it there, ladies and gents. I've got to make like a banana and split.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Take care, everyone. Good pod.
Bye.